to Dave Gott. He's coming back. The gloves are off. They go toe-to-toe, blow for blow. Very elegant. Ahead on to Dave.
Welcome back to the B-Set for the last Saturday of the season. Nick Burney, first of all, good morning to you.
G'day, mate. Yeah, I'm up and about today. Last race of the season, as you said, and hello to everyone listening on in. Rare Week, there looks a couple of really good bets, and wow, there's a couple of tricky races. $8 the field in a midway. I can't remember the last time I saw that.
I'll be following a couple of Marnus Labuschagne's leads, and I might be shouldering arms to that race. That looks impossible, but you're right. We have a couple of short price favourite, a couple of ripping little head-to-head races, and some very, very open markets. Now, just before we dive into the form, is there any season highlights of yours?
Personal perspective, probably my best result was Riordini in the Gong. I took some $51 in the futures, so yeah, that was an okay result. And yourself, mate, anything there?
Oh, there's been a couple of nice results, nothing like $51 for Riordini. couple of trial horses going forward I've been able to find and get a couple of nice results. Maybe one that comes to mind at the midweek is, the horse skips my mind at the moment, Chris Waller's Miler, and one first up was $11 into about $3. So I didn't get the 11s, I got about $8, and it was a nice win at the midweek. Its name skips my mind at the moment, but it was a good result to me. And at the end of the day, it's the influx of coins into bank account that means everything. But let's waste no time and get straight into it. The headline act comes up in race number 8 at Randwick, a benchmark 88 over 1,100 metres. Now, this will be the last weekend before we dive into the likes of the Missile Stakes and a couple of really nice feature races. But Insurrection, we've seen this galloper record back-to-back wins. He's a three-year-old gelding, and he's a $2.25 favourite for this event. Deepaw comes back down to Sydney for the first time after contesting the Ramorny handicap last start behind a big goodbye. Rubitar 950 and double figures or better for the rest. There's a pretty simple question. Are you with Insurrection or are you against him?
Definitely with Insurrection. Firstly, on the track rail, 5 metres, I think it will play pretty evenly, pace-related. They might just want to edge off in that classic Randwick winter track, but I'm with the favourite here. I've marked this race a few different ways how I price it up, and I just keep coming back to, I can have this horse quite short. Now, he's in career best form, strength to strength this campaign, but the thing I like is how he's on that upwards rating spiral and how a horse can do it on both ends. Like, he just ambled up to them the other day and just put Brudenell away, who has subsequently unluckily run second, that we talked about last week. But he still ran one of the fastest last 200 metre splits of the meeting. His last start winner, yes, up in grade, but he drops 2 kilos. What he goes came out of that race to win. I think he'll roll forward, sit outside the leader, or even find the fence, and he's going to be awfully hard to run down. Big go in the betting, so it's well found. Maybe that gets a little bit out on the day because there's other options, I suppose, in the race, like Deepaw's coming out of a Ramorny, which I hold in extremely high regard. He did start 5-2, $3.50 in that race, but I have to keep coming back to Insurrection. Just got that little bit of X factor about him for a lightly raced horse.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think Insurrection's the horse for mine. Drops down to the 57.5 kilos following the claim and should be able to cross. I think Tri-State drawn outside it is a very big plus as well, because any real chance of that horse kicking up inside, it will likely take a sit behind the speed, which it did last start. And the only other horse that might kick up is Garrison. Yeah. And you know that horse is going to fold the fence. But if Zach Lloyd opts to cross with Insurrection, he should be quick enough to just do just that. And I think he's going to be mighty hard to beat. And when you look down the board, there's nothing that scares me at all.
Yeah, not really. I couldn't agree more. Rupertar's a nice, fresh horse, but I don't think it's up to Insurrection's level. And I think if Garrison punches up and sits in that two position, he's going to be in the right part of the track as well. And I just think he's going to be awfully hard to run down. All he has to do is repeat last start to win, and there's every chance he could improve again.
There's one horse I'm going to have a little bit of a mental health saver on, Her Royale. Yes. She trialled really well. She was horrible last start, and it cast my mind back to two preparations ago. She trialled really well before running at Eagle Farm, couldn't get out of her own way. She went down to Flemington and absolutely bolted in. So she's done this before. I might have a little saver on her from the inside, because if she starts poking her nose through, I could have a heart attack.
Yeah, no, that's my second best overlay in this race would be definitely her, because with the significant barrier change, going into that inside draw, just doing no work. Like, that first up run was 4 or 5 wide on a limb, the trip. So complete forgive there. And Yeah, if you're going to have, if you're going to bet this race, I think they are the two bets for me. But I think Insurrection's hard to beat, and Curoel the overs.
The head-to-head comes up in race number one, and this is a very, very, very interesting race. I'm really looking forward to this. Estrella was outstanding at the Provincials, winning at Gosford over the 1,100 metres, backing up some outstanding trials. She's carrying the 54 kilograms from gate number four. Shaken will be looking to cross from gate number nine, following a 1,000-metre win at Wyong, where she defeated Love and Light. She's $3.80. Estrella's $2.80. They've both been very well found. How do you split this pair?
Oh, I don't want to take too much of the limelight away from you, because I know you love this horse, Estrella, but I think she's the way to go for me. That debut performance, I really liked there at Gosford. I know it's only Gosford, it's a provincial race, but it rated through the roof, and it's a hot maiden. There's been two subsequent winners to come out of it. Just the way she did it as well, and at the style, she's just a really nice mover. As soon as John Allen asked her to extend that day, she put them away and ran some very fast closing splits. Perfect draw for Saturday. I think she's just going to absorb the tempo, come out and be awfully hard to beat. Although I do really like Shaken as a horse. Just the thing about it is, come back more mature. And when it went through the line the other day, I was like, I just want to back you next start. But then they've both bumped into each other. But I'm with Estrella. The other bet that I'm really keen to have, and I have backed it, is Destructive Diva. Now, this is big odds. I think it's a great knockout chance. It only won a Canberra maiden on debut, but there was just something about her, just how she did it. She's a real try. I wanted to keep finding the line. Then they stepped her straight to a Group 3 kindergarten, but ran on, remember that day at Randwick where it was just...
It was a bold,
bottom,
wasn't it?
Bottomless yeah. track. So just complete forgive. I marked her $14. Really happy to take the good price in as well. But Estrella and Destructive Diva. And I've got a lot of time for Shaken, but you can't have them all. But yourself?
Estrella's on top for mine. Just a little bit of a push. She's the best bet of the day for me. The low draw. The fact John Allen went to Gosford
yeah.
for the one ride all yeah. day on a Thursday. Kieran Murray and David Eustace train. The last horse he did something similar for was Steel City.
Right.
He came up to Sydney to ride her. I know a lot of the jockeys were up in Queensland for the Magic Millions that day, but Estrella, I loved her trials. They were outstanding. There's just something about him that said, this daughter of I Am Invincible is very, very good. The fact that when she was sitting behind that hot speed, she was bolting for a run, I was really nervous. When she got out, the fact that Gosford's not a long straight.
No.
She got out and she got to the front immediately.
Yeah,
she had a really nice turn of foot and she pulled away, eased up, was just so, so impressive. And it was one of the races look back on and go, oh, that was an easy watch. But at the time, yeah. I was really nervous the whole way, but her instant acceleration I thought was really impressive.
Yeah.
And I think she goes on from Saturday to be a key leading contender in the Phillies Princess Series.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I loved how you summed it up, how she just moved as soon as he pushed out through that gap. You know, two-year-olds don't usually do that, and it was quite impressive. And I think, couldn't agree more, she's right on the way up. My theory was the 37 days was a little bit of a query for me from launching, I suppose. But you make a good point. We're speaking before off-air about the camp. You want to go a bit into that?
Yeah, I just think Kieran Murray and David Eustace, when they're a gap between runs, doesn't really worry me. Of course, she could have had a trial, but you trust this camp to get it right. Dylan Gibbons from gate number four is going to have every chance. I don't mind the fact she's fresh. She's going to have a nice turn of foot as well. And when you look at Shaken, I think that horse won maybe a week later.
Yes.
So it's also a gap between runs. And Shaken, albeit gate number nine, it does have a bit of speed inside it. Sounds of Heaven's going to kick up. You've got the likes of Desperately, Zale going to want to lead. So they might have to take a sit aboard Shaken. So I think gate number nine is a bit of a query as well for that galloper, whereas Estrella can take the sit behind the speed comfortably, be produced at the right time, and I think $2.80 is a fantastic price.
Yeah, I think it's a really good bet, and I just couldn't... I think this is the race of the day, race one. I think it's the most exciting race on the program, but plenty of other bets to have later in the meeting.
The Fly in the Ointment comes up in race number... Six, I've got seven. I've gone the wrong way. I've pulled up the wrong race here. Race number seven, and I really like this horse going forward, Marigold Magic. Now, he's going to be one of the leading contenders for the Kosciuszko, you suspect, but when it comes to Saturday, 60 kilograms, second up, he's only really been exposed in highway and country form. He now comes to a genuine benchmark grade. Tintuki was disappointing last start, but that horse... before that was sensational. You can put it down to maybe just one bad run, but $2.40, there's a simple question to be made. Is that under the odds?
I think it is. Yeah, I think $2.40 is absolute rock bottom. You know, there's been probably a lot of talk about how it's absorbed a lot of pressure. But for me, from overall pace rating perspectives, I think it's only ever really faced its last start was an even a moderate tempo. It did respond well. I really like that attribute when it can get headed and find. And it's got that beautiful speed and rhythm that it can get into. But the 60.5 to benchmark grade, as you said, it can definitely win. Don't get me wrong, but $2.40, if I'm taking $2.40, there's not that many ifs and buts. Like, I'm really keen to bet. And there's too many queries for me to take that price. So I have to look elsewhere. And what I've come up with, I said, no, Nick, not again. I can't believe you found her again. Tintuki.
Now, very, very quickly, because I was looking at her as well. I know last start was really disappointing, but how much weight do you put into forgiving a bad run?
Well, there was a bit to go into her. Yes, I can forgive a bad run, especially look at the SP, started $3.20. So she was expected to go very close in that race, but you also pulled up poor post. But the thing with me is you look at her, she gets in that mid-race slowdown. She just wanted to be race there keen. But then when she came out for a run, she was just crammed and copped a bump in her stride. She just didn't cope with that. Her stride changed, and you go back to her other two runs where you isolate those two runs herself. And when she's just found that clear air, she's reeled off some very fast closing splits. I know she's got barrier two, so I would prefer her coming down the outside, but it was $10, I think, yesterday, so it's been well fancied. That's the way I wanted to lean Tintuki, because I thought it was the overs, taking in all those considerations. And I think she's got the right form to bounce back. And I can definitely be forgiving for her.
And there's another horse I want to touch on, because his trials were outstanding. Vindication went to Wyong first up, heavily backed under 60 kilograms, was caught three wide. I know they've got the one long turn, so it's nothing too bad. But the fact that he was caught wide, toyed with his opposition that day and won ease down.
Yep.
How do you line up Vindication?
Yeah, I think it's a definite chance in, you know, there's so many different ways to look at this race, and you can make an opinion for a lot of these runners. I really like Vindication's win, rated extremely well. I know you said the one turn, but three wide punching the breeze in a fast pace, it was still a really good effort there. I think he can step off that, come back well. And then the other horse, I thought Diamond Dealer was solid there first up. And Smashing Eagle comes out of Omni Man's race. So there's so many different ways you can go here. And that's why I keep coming back to, I can't understand the $2.40 Mogo Magic. And I just want to, I've been with Tintuki. I know I said last start was D-Day, but here we are again.
Yeah, quick question, Smashing Eagle. I think the wide draw might be the best case for this horse, because you look back at all his runs when he was at the Valley and Sandown, second and third up last campaign, he was close to the speed, faded back through the field. First up at Rose Hill, sat behind the speed, faded through the field. But you look back to his two best runs in the last two campaigns, he bolted into Bendigo, was slowly away. Jai McNeil, he did land a little bit closer just before the turn, but he was only easing his way up a slowly run race, and he zipped home. And then ran with Kensington behind Omni Man, just restrained back to the rear of the field and zipped home really strongly. I think gate number 11 might be the best thing for this horse, forcing him to be ridden quiet. And you get Jason Collett, who's probably one of the best jockeys in Australia, at getting horses to the outside and finishing off.
Yeah, I think that's a good point you make about Collett. If you're going to have be on a back marker, he's probably the one I want to be with, because he'll find a passage. But yeah, I agree. Getting to the outside, he can let down. And look, it's another one that's been spec. So it's come, that Omni Man race, I know Omni Man's come out and won, but it went really good against the day. So I can see your point there. But at the end of the day, I'm going to back Tintuki, and we'll see how we go again with her. This is Dead Set D-Day.
All right, time for rapid fire, Nick. As we come up to your four horses on Saturday, who's over the odds?
Over the odds, I'm going to go to race 6, Custodian. Now, it was one of the biggest goes I've seen for a while in the Saturday Metro race. I just don't think he was suited there first up in that high-pressure 1,100 metres. Gets to the 1,300 metres, more natural rhythms, got a really good map, gets a gear change. So I think that $14 or $15 it is at the moment, I think it's a really good bet there for Brett Preble and yourself.
over the odds for me. Super Pursuit. Now, this horse, I know he's got his reservations. I don't think he's won yet in Australia, but he's produced a host of really strong runs. He comes through the same form race as Tazarel. When you watch the replay, it was a fantastic ride by Tom Sherry. As Super Pursuit's going to get its run to the outside, Tommy gave it a hip and shoulder back into the pocket. Tommy was off and gone, and by the time Super Pursuit got out, the race was over. So I think gate number 12, once again, it's drawn wide, but I don't mind that. I think here we go, peak fitness. It's going to have its best run of the campaign, and I think at an each way quote, $11. Seems a bit over the odds, especially when Tazarel is half that price.
Under the odds for me, mate, I'm Mogo Magic. I don't think we can add anything more. It can definitely win. I think it's a really exciting horse. I can see why it's been so well found. Like, it's a great public horse. It's won a lot of, it's won its last three or four starts. I can't remember, but I can understand it. But the 240, you know, this is, we're here to better prices, and I can't have it, the 240.
I've got the same horse, mate, Mogo Magic for mine. So we'll follow up. Do the Tab Traders take it on?
I think it'll be the lay of the day. I think it has to. They've got it in short enough. They've got enough probably money that's come in for it now, and they can get it out on the day. And
is it the old keep it nice and short on a Friday, yes, let the multis, let the punters back it, and then on the day, I think the last 15 minutes, I think it'll certainly jump with a three in front of its price.
Yeah, that's. I think it's more of a three, yeah, that $3.20 chance, pushing even $3.50 for me. But yeah, I'm happy to take it on and look elsewhere. And the sectional star, I'm going against you, mate. I thought Tazarel was quite good there first up, coming back for second Australian preparation for the Snowdons. I liked how he built into the race. His last 211.5 was strong, but I just really liked his last couple of bounds. There's something about this horse I like. He's got adaptability. He can roll forward on Saturday if need be, and I think he might be hard to hold out. And yourself, mate, for the trial star?
Stanislaus. Race 6, horse number 6, $11 before we started recording. He's $3.70 now. The price went immediately. Now, this horse, I've never touched on a horse in the Spy Files more in my life. Yeah. I touched on him before his debut when he ran behind Barber, was caught wide in the mounting yard. I knew my fate early. Barber walked in and he was a dude. Yeah. Looking around, yeah. Beautifully paraded. And then I'm looking, oh, I wonder where Stanislaus is. And there was the hot, sweaty mess behind him. And I thought, oh, I'm in a bit of trouble here. But he returned the next preparation trial beautifully.
Yeah.
Went to Corkscrew, won comfortably, did a bit wrong. Then he ran into a couple of slowly run races behind Amazonian Lass and Libertad. Now, those form lines behind Libertad are outstanding. But he's got the ultimate gear change now. He comes back gelded. His two trials have been sensational. He's jumped. He's travelled. He's done everything right. 900 metres at Newcastle, I love. And from gate number 8, should posse outside the leader. And I think he's going to be too good.
Yeah, well, that sounds like almost your weekend's going to come down to Stanislaus by the sounds of that. It's sounds like a really good push there. For me, my out wide, I've got two. I'll get into more depth in the best bet section.
Just before we get into it,
yeah.
Your out wide last week at Coffs Harbour, what were you thinking between the 400 and the 100?
I didn't want to take 30s. It has got flattened about three times. Well done to Zach Waddick. He just kept his mind on the job and just... Coffs Harbour is a weird, weird place to bet at. And he just somehow launched late and picked them up. And I was quite happy on the line. I thought I was gone, to be honest, when he got...
It's
flattened.
It's one of those places, if you're on a leader, you're never comfortable.
You're never comfortable.
There's so many horses that get up on the line. But anyway...
Trust me, I've been on the other side of those as well.
I've overtaken it. What's your outline?
Two here. Really keen on race 5 at Newcastle, number 4, Gazumped. I'll talk more about it soon. And Kempsey, race 2, number 3, Prince of Pop. We'll see, hopefully, what price it comes out. But I think it's going to... Hopefully, we might get a bit of price about this thing. But I think it's a good bet. And yourself...
Out wide, race 3, horse number 10, Turbulent. Now, he's been a drifter in the last couple of moments, which I was quite surprised because it's coming out of a form race behind Diabelli. Diabelli, in the last few minutes at Sandown on Wednesday, was absolutely hammered. He was disappointing that day, but the market loved him. And then the horse yesterday skips my mind. It might have been Aristonis, might be its name, for James Harron at Kembla Grange. Smashed in betting, $7 into $5 the day before on Wednesday. On race day, it was $5 into $4 early. The last few minutes jumped $3.20 and it paid $2.80 on the tote. So I think this form race is one that I stamped a couple of weeks ago with the likes of Lady King, who I love.
Yep.
And I think the market's going to stamp this horse in the last few minutes. Interesting little drift. I think that's because of the money for a couple of debutants, Zakiro and Team America. Both have trialled fairly, both on debut though, and Turbulent, not too fussed about the wide draw, should roll forward, and I'm keen to take the price now because I reckon he starts a lot shorter.
Yep, the horse you're talking about, I'm going to absolutely butcher this, Adraconius, there you go.
I was cursing because I backed House of Cards and I thought it was a great two-bet play, and I thought I'd bat Adraconius late, and I thought, oh no, $4 is a bit too short. And then once the Toads popped up, I seemed to be the only person in Australia not on it. He was a big go. And I think that's because that form race at Newcastle is so good. And I've got to back Turbulent in there because he also brings Estriella form lines where he was chopped out at a key stage and hit the line well over the 1,100.
Yeah, I was with Turbulent as well there last start at Newcastle. So I think he can bounce back. Just nothing went right. As you've talked about it. There's no point going over that run again, but I agree with you.
All right, Nick, that concludes the B-set for the last time this season. And
oh, we're going to go to the best bets.
Oh, the best bets. Jeez, I'm trying to get out of here nice and early. I thought you'd be the one before you run off for your European sojourn, but what's your best bet at Randwick?
Yeah, well, hopefully we can get some cash for before I go away. I've actually got three, so I'm going to go with three best bets over Saturday. Newcastle Race 5, number 4, Gazumped. Just got that perfect platform, upward spiral. It's just coming out of really strong races. Gets a really good draw, big track. It's definitely ready to win. Kempsey Race 2, number 3, as I spoke about. Prince of Pop comes out of another high rating race. Cheeky sectionals the other day there at Grafton. I think it settles closer up in distance and gets the winkers on. And my best at Randwick is Race 9, number 11, Tazarel. It's just something about this horse I like. So
he's one of the best bred horses in Australia. Yep. Older sister is a couple of time Group 1 winner. His younger sister is a Group 1 winner. Yep. He's in the middle, but I think he might be on the up. I found him in the trials last prep. I didn't find him this prep, but as you mentioned, that second Australian campaign, hey?
Yeah, and that's the key to it, the second Australian campaign. And I was trying to look for a bit of a correlation with an overseas horse, and I'm probably jumping out of my skin here, but Wetall, now it's turned into a Group 1 winner, but it only had two wins overseas before it came over for the Snowden. So, I don't know, I'm hoping it can get to that level. Well, it has to win on Saturday to get even close to that level. But, yeah, there's just something about it. I would, if it was 1,800 metres or 2,000, I'd be so keen. Staying at the 16 is my only slight query. But, and for you, mate, Estriella chips in and Stanislaus by the sounds.
Race 1, number 5 at Randwick, Estriella. Oh, I think she's a really, really nice filly. And then Race 6, number 6, Newcastle, Stanislaus, Skelded, the son of Exceed and Excel, hopefully onwards and upwards. And he's the sort of horse that I think can often, similar to Spacewalk, when he is gelded, I think he can take a few steps. Of course, Spacewalk isn't the superstar, but I think Stanislaus might be a good horse to follow in those early spring features, not only here in Sydney, but also maybe up in Melbourne. I can see him ripping around Caulfield.
Yep. Yeah, no, that's, mate, it's exciting, and the market clearly agrees. So looking forward to tomorrow.
Yeah, perfect, Nick. And first of all, enjoy your holiday.
Yes.
We'll see you nice and fresh for the Group 1s. The Winx Stakes is only a couple of weeks away.
Yeah, no, that sounds good, mate. And Ray Hickson, he'll jump in to the chair with you for the next few weeks. So we'll keep ticking over, and I can't wait to get back fresh for a big spring carnival.